No, my Heidi Mike, tēnei hōtaka, welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Straight to this first, Marlborough Civil Defence and Emergency Management is advising 70 households in Spring Creek near Blenheim to evacuate their homes by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Hopefully we have more on that through the panel hour. Also, Coromandel residents are being warned to brace for heavy rain and thunderstorms as bad weather moving up from the South Island is expected to lash the peninsula tomorrow. And due to a washout, State Highway 6 between Franz Josef and Fox Glacier is closed. Also, other weather news, in Auckland, restaurants in the Sky Tower, including Orbit, the Sugar Club and Skybar, closed to customers due to high winds and stormy weather overnight. And there have been around 18 call outs relating to trees and power lines coming down, roofs lifting in Auckland. If you are in an affected area, do let us know. Get in touch, 2101 by text. With us now, we have Mark Pinner, the NZTA System Manager for Canterbury and the West Coast. Mark, welcome.
Kia ora.
What's the latest for our listeners in your area, Mark?
Yeah, no, as you mentioned, State Highway 6 is closed from 7 o'clock tonight from Ross all the way through to Makarrawa, and it opens again at 10 o'clock, hopefully. Obviously, we'll be just out there in the early hours, just judging what the impact has been overnight. But, yeah, the rain is easing. It is moving to the north, so it has moved north from sort of the Franz Josef area out to Ross, and hence why we just extended the closure that way.
Very good. Rain easing there. That land, that infrastructure, as the mayor said earlier, maybe starting to move as this, you know, the region begins to feel that full effect of heavy rain. So, not entirely out of the woods yet. We could expect to see perhaps more slips.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've had two or three days of heavy rain. You know, 500 to 600 mil of rain. So very high rainfalls, and the ground was originally quite dry, but now it's getting saturated, and with the strong winds, and we certainly we have seen slips. The trees will move about in the wind, and that will bring some more material down. But I would stress it is it is Westland at this stage. Greymouth and Buller remain open and unaffected. You can still access the majority of the West Coast, and it is moving out, and hopefully by tomorrow we'll be past the brunt of it. We do obviously need to fix a bridge which has been washed out, or at least the approach to the bridge, and that's what we'll be judging tomorrow morning.
Oh, great to have you on, Mark. Thanks for the update. I appreciate it. That's Mark Pinner, the NZTA System Manager for Canterbury and the West Coast. You can get in touch, 2101. By the way, for all the latest updates, go to our rolling blog, rnz.co.nz. They are right there. Now, on to the show. We're talking job cuts. Relentless at the moment, aren't they? Gosh. Doc Imbe, News Hub, Ministry of Culture and Heritage, just to name a few more next week. Just how does this compare to the market reforms of the 80s and later the GFC, we ask in a minute. And from 2026, Ireland will have cancer warning labels on all alcohol, with the words, there is a direct link between alcohol and fatal cancers. Is that too much? Should that happen here? And it is National Pet Day today, a homage to that dog on the back of the ute, the cat on your lap right now as you play bridge, your kid's hamster. What is your pet's name and why do you love it? We've had so much on that. I can't wait to share some of you. Text me, 2101. You can email the panel at rnz.co.nz. Here's one just through Carizo, my red mini dash hund, says one. With me today, Zoe George, senior sports journalist for Stuff. Always a pleasure to have you on, Zoe.
Always lovely to be on the panel with you, Wallace.
And Stephen Jacoby, Executive Director of the New Zealand International Business Forum. Stephen, welcome. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Wallace. Good to be here.
13 past six, and to that news item about the job cuts, pretty relentless right now with hundreds of job cuts across News Hub and TVNZ announced today. Ministry for Culture and Heritage is set to lose 18% of its workforce. Number of roles will be cut from 184 to 150. Job cuts in Imbi have doubled in size to 286 roles. Niwa, up to 90 jobs there. DOC announced a proposed restructure with a net reduction of 130 jobs. And the big ones, well, they're next week. The Ministry of Education and Oranga Tamariki. With us to look over this is Jared Kerr, the Chief Economist at Kiwi Bank. Kia ora, Jared.
Kia ora.
Well, how do you say, it's kind of agony in April, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, and it's been a long time coming. You know, we've heard a lot from our clients at the bank, and I've been talking to recruitment agents, and, you know, it's a bit more broad-based than what you're hearing in the news. Obviously, you hear a lot around media and government downsizing, but it's actually a bit broader. We're right. seeing it across, you know, a number of industries.
So is that, I think one economist said there might be a convergence of factors at play here. You know, coming together at one time, Jared, you do have that that recession, you've got these public sector changes exacerbated by the cost of living crisis. So it's a whole, it's a suite of things at one time?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, we have been in recession for over a year. This is not something that's just developed in the last few months. So, you know, businesses have been, you know, looking at their, you know, at their employees and thinking, geez, you know, how many do I have to get rid of? And I think it's all starting to snowball and come through now. The Reserve Bank, by design, went out there and decided to slow the economy down drastically. I think they've done too much, and I think we're seeing the damage caused by rapid rise in interest rates.
Okay, so done too much there, says Jared. Well, let's bring on Zoe, you in Wellington in the Wellington studio there. What's your comment, your take on this?
If we keep going down this path, what's going to happen is my question.
Good question. Nice and direct there, Jared.
Yeah, look, if we keep going down this path, then the unemployment rate is just going to keep grinding higher. What's making it somewhat worse is the number of migrants that have come in the country. It's a pity they didn't come in a year or so earlier when we desperately needed them. But we're seeing an increase in the supply of workers at the time when there's a decrease in demand, because we've seen, you know, job ads coming off. So if we continue, you know, along this path, we're going to see an unemployment rate well into the fives. And I think the Reserve Bank will actually see that and actually go the other way. I think it's in their, the ball's in their court, and you know, they can start cutting by the end of this year to you know, bring some, you know, take some of the pressure off.
Stephen.
Yeah, well, look, this is a very worrying time for a lot of New Zealanders, isn't it? And, you know, your heart has to go out to all of those who are facing this right now. You know, and I think, I mean, one thing I'd be interested to know from you, Jared, is to what extent is this, you know, our own economy doing this to us, or are we also feeling the effects of a global decline in the world economy? It's sort of like the economy's catching up with us. After that long COVID period.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we went through the COVID period. We thought we were going to see a lot more job losses at that time. Didn't happen. You know, the wage subsidy and other things helped. Trillions of dollars was pumped into economies around the world to reflate out of the COVID period. And we actually did too much, and we saw too much demand. And central banks have had to reverse pretty swiftly by hiking interest rates. Now we're at that point where, you know, they've done too much. It's you know, inflation will get back under control and they can start going the other way. But to your question, I think it's a bit of both, right? There's the international developments. We have seen a slowdown offshore, particularly in China. China's economy is very weak right now. But then, you know, we are also, you know, trying to manage our own economy. So the Reserve Bank is doing what it thinks it needs to do to get domestic inflation down. And it's causing damage. It's hurting households and it's hurting businesses.
Jared
Wallace, I might just,
Stephen,
if I may,
keep going.
Follow up on another comment that Jared made about, you know, the impact of migrant workers. You know, it wasn't that long ago that all our employers were calling out for more workers. We had huge gaps in our labour force. I can't help thinking that the people who are coming in to plug those gaps are not the same people, are not doing the same jobs as the ones that are being let go in different parts of the economy. I guess my feeling is that it's all very well to point to migrant workers, but actually it's a lot more complicated than that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I agree. What I'm, I guess, pointing to is our working age population, which has been inflated by, you know, migrants coming in, is growing at a greater pace than employment growth. So we're getting more people in than we need, and that has literally just changed over the last sort of six to 9 months. Because, like you say, at the beginning of last year, and particularly over 2022, businesses were screaming out for workers. That was their biggest constraint. That was their biggest worry. Now that's not the case. They're telling us that's not their biggest constraint. It's actually demand. So it's the recession that we're going through.
No. Hey, Jared, I've got a question for you. Knowing and living through the reforms, early 90s market reforms, and also later the global financial crisis. And, you know, at the start of the GFC, there were 40,000 job losses in the first 3 months of 2009. So we, as a society, we see these relentless job cuts, but we've been here before, haven't we?
Oh, yes. No, you're right. And what we're going through right now is not as bad as that. And hopefully it doesn't get as bad as that. But yeah, we do have cycles, and we have, in the past, and I think you mentioned the late 80s, early 90s, you know, we had an unemployment rate that went double digit. It went to 11%, and you saw some very large defaults happening at banks. It was a very, very horrible time. So we're not near that, but it's uncomfortable, right? It's you know, people are losing jobs now. The unemployment rate is rising. It's uncomfortable. And, you know, there's no getting around the fact that we've been through what has been a lengthy recession. And when you look at that recession per head, so, you know, how much each of us are getting, we're down 3%, which is huge. That was larger than the 08 crisis.
Really good to have you on, Jared. Jared Kerr, they're the chief economist at Kiwi Bank. Now, if you were listening to that, unemployment could go into the fives. Possibly. It's agony April, and there is just that reminder, Zoe, that behind all those statistics, of which there were quite a few there, there is that human cost, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I'm one of those costs. I have recently been made redundant. TVNZ and News Hub have been talked about a lot in the media. But in the last 12 months, Stuff have made several journalists and others redundant, including five members of the sports team, including me. So as of May 1st, I won't have a job. As of May 1st, Stuff will not have any women in their sports department. And, you know, it's tough. Every day I get more and more anxious about how I'm going to pay my mortgage and put food on my table. It's really, really tough, really tough.
Kia ora, Zoe. 2101, are job cuts affecting you? Are job cuts affecting your household, your family, your ability to pay the bills? 22 past 6. We are going to get an update too from the Marlborough Civil Defence before in a few minutes' time. But to this, this caught my eye in the New York Times. It's not been discussed here in New Zealand, but it could well be soon. Just have a think. You're at a barbecue. You pick up your bevy, your Heineken perhaps, or your Stella, or your Dark Spades, maybe an RTD. And what's staring back at you? A cancer warning on the bottle or the can. Well, in 2026, Ireland, 2 years' time, they're introducing such things on their cans or bottles. So should alcoholic beverages have cancer warning labels. We reached out to the New Zealand Alcohol Beverages Council for a statement on this, and they said no, they do not support more labelling on products. The research on warning and advice labels is that while these help to raise issues, they do not change drinking behaviours. With us is Emeritus Professor Doug Salmon, former director of the National Addiction Centre, also the medical spokesperson for Alcohol Action NZ. Professor Salmon, kia ora.
Kia ora.
I was
nice to talk to you again, Wallace, and hi to Zoe and Stephen.
Good, good to have you here, Doug. I was quite amazed. It was a long article in the New York Times. And so here we are, you know, Ireland, the home of Guinness. Slapping a really big label, a big red label on the front of their cans. What do you think of this? Should we follow suit?
Well, of course we should. Alcohol is a group one carcinogen, along with, you know, substances like asbestos and radiation and tobacco. It is a bit surprising about Ireland, but remember, Ireland was the first country to ban public indoor smoking.
Really?
And back, yes. And it's kind of sad that New Zealand is not at the forefront of public health measures. And just in your intro, you talked about the industry saying there's no evidence that it has any impact on behaviour. Well, that's not true. That article that you read and that I read this afternoon talks about Canadian research where they did have brightly coloured adverts saying, or health warnings saying, alcohol can cause cancer. And the follow-up was that there was a 7% reduction in the consumption of that product.
But Doug, I'm just saying, I mean, the red label is going to say there is a direct link between alcohol and fatal cancers. That's going to be in Ireland. Is it a bit over the top? Here I am, maybe having just one or two beers at a barbecue, and I get confronted by that.
Yes, it is confronting, but, you know, it is our favourite drug, and if we are going to consume it, as you and I both do, we've got to understand there are risks, and I think having a warning there, alcohol causes cancer, and in fact, 10 years ago, we ran a conference in Wellington on that topic. And at that time, the industry was saying exactly what they're saying again and exactly what Ireland has been battling the industry for the last decade to get this this legislation through to bring in these warning labels in 2026.
Let's go around the panel and we'll come back to you. Doug, Zoe, you first.
Yeah. See, as a woman, I look at the label and there is that warning, alcohol harms our unborn babies, right? That warning label is on there already. And I went to see when that actually was meant to come into effect or how long, because I thought that it had been there forever, but it turns out it only became mandatory last year, I think, on all alcohol in New Zealand. I managed to dig up some public health service research that said alcohol is the fourth largest risk factor for health loss in New Zealand behind obesity, smoking and high blood pressure. So I have no issues. As someone who enjoys a cheeky gin and the occasional rosé, I have no issues.
So you don't mind, even though you might have that cheeky gin, you wouldn't mind this quite, some might say, confronting label.
I know smokers had to deal with it as well. So we know that smoking is bad for our health. You choose to engage with that knowing the risks. It's the same with drinking alcohol.
We'll come back to you, Doug. Stephen.
Well, I wouldn't want to get into a discussion with Doug Salmon about this particular topic in terms of, you know, what works and what doesn't work. I just observed that there is now going to be, could be in the future, more and more information on the back of bottles and products of different types and how consumers are really going to, you know, interpret them and make decisions seems a bit more complicated to me than than the findings of the Canadian study, which showed a 7% change in usage. I mean, we're talking about a lot of information now being captured, you know, on these products, and maybe some other way needs to be thought about, you know, using, you know, barcodes and things or what do you call them, QR codes to try to address that.
Okay, well, finally, Doug, it looks like, do you think this might trigger other countries? I see that Thailand will carry graphic images on their alcohol. Canada, Norway, bills have been introduced. Are Ireland starting a conversation worldwide?
Yeah. Yes, I think that we're moving much more to being a little America than we are being a little Scandinavia or a little EU, which is to our detriment as a country, as a society. But that's my own personal view. We've known since the WHO have known since 1988 from the research that this is a group 1 carcinogen, and that it is affecting the cancers that we worry about the most, because of the most common breast cancer in particular, but also colorectal cancer. And I think if you're going to be marketing a product to the public, then you have a moral responsibility to tell the public what the downside of it is.
Really interesting topic, Doug, and I appreciate your time this evening. Kia ora.
Pleasure.
Yeah, that's Emeritus Professor Doug Salmon there, medical spokesperson for Alcohol Action NZ. So he, needless to say, does support this big red label. It's coming out in Ireland. What do you think? It's coming out in 2 years' time, and the words will say, when you have a can of beer or a bottle of wine, there is a direct link between alcohol and fatal cancers. Would you support that here in New Zealand? 2101.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.